All right, everyone, welcome in. Today we're diving headfirst into partnership law with a case that'll really make you think page v. page. It's not just about legal nitty-gritty. It digs into ethics, like how far can you push your rights when a partnership's going south?
This case throws you right into this dilemma. Picture yourself as H.B. Page, working with your brother George for almost a decade.
A family business, huh?
Yep, and not just time, you've both sunk your savings, about $43,000 each, into this linen supply business.
Okay, so some serious skin in the game.
Absolutely, and for years it was rough, just losses. I mean, a mountain of debt, like $62,000.
Oof, that's a lot to carry.
But then finally, things start looking up, they're actually turning a profit. Just when you think you're in the clear, George, who's also the managing partner, drops a bomb. He wants out. Wants to dissolve the partnership.
Oh, talk about a curveball. I bet HB felt like the rug got pulled out from under.
Exactly. And to make it even more complicated, George's own corporation is a major creditor to the partnership. He holds a $47,000 demand note.
So he's not just a partner. He's got this financial hold over the business, too.
Yeah, so you can see how HB might feel trapped, right? And especially because their original agreement was just a handshake deal, nothing on paper.
See, that's where that classic law school lesson comes in. Get it in writing.
You got it. That's where the idea of an at-will partnership kicks in. The Uniform Partnership Act is pretty clear unless you have a specific agreement about the partnership's lifespan or a goal that has to be met, it's at-will. Either partner can walk away whenever they want.
But wouldn't all that investment, the years of struggle, and finally turning a profit, imply some kind of agreement to stick it out?
That's exactly what HB argued. He said our history and the understanding they'd see it through until the debts were paid created an unspoken, implied term.
Makes sense to me. What did George say to that?
George basically said hoping to repay debts from future profits that wasn't a legally binding agreement. He was going by the letter of the law, no written contract, no specific terms about how long the partnership would last.
So we've got this classic legal tug of war, one side pointing to the spirit of the partnership, all those years invested, the other side's all about this strict legal interpretation, no written proof. What'd the court say?
California Supreme Court sided with George. They recognized it might be tough on HB, but they stuck to the law. No explicit agreement about the partnership's length, so it's at will. George had the legal right to dissolve it.
Case closed then. George wins, HB gets the short end of the stick.
Not quite. This is where page v. page gets really interesting. The court, while agreeing George could dissolve it, added a huge caveat. They stressed that even in at-will partnerships, you have a fiduciary duty to each other.
Wait, before we go there, can you break down what fiduciary duty actually means in this situation?
It's a core principle in partnership law. Basically, it means partners have to act in good faith, even when breaking up the partnership. You put the partnership's interests and your partner's interests ahead of your own gain.
So it's not just about what's legal, but what's ethical thing. You can't hide behind the law to take advantage of your partner.
Exactly. The court was saying George couldn't just use his right to dissolve as a way to screw HB over. They sent the case back to the trial court to see if George had actually breached his fiduciary duty.
So the legal battle wasn't over. But how do you even prove bad faith in a situation like this? What kind of actions would cross that line?
Imagine if George, knowing the business was about to take off, dissolved the partnership, then immediately started a competing linen supply business across the street. Using everything he learned from the partnership to undercut HB and steal clients, that would probably be considered bad faith.
Makes sense. He'd be using the partnership as a stepping stone for himself, leaving his brother who'd been there through thick and thin.
Right. Or say George knew about a big new contract coming up but hid it from HB before ending the partnership. That could also be a breach of fiduciary duty because it stops HB from making informed choices about his own interests.
Transparency and fairness are key then. Even if you can legally dissolve, you can't use that to mislead or disadvantage your partner.
Precisely. Fiduciary duty demands a high ethical standard, even when the law might give you some leeway.
I'm seeing how Cage v. Page is bigger than just this one dispute. It makes you think about how legal rights and ethical responsibilities work together in business.
It's a landmark case for that very reason. It's like a warning sign for anyone starting a partnership. Page v. Page screams, "Get it in writing," from the rooftops. Relying on just spoken agreements, especially in business, is asking for trouble.
It's like playing with fire. You might not get burned, but why risk it?
And even with a written agreement, Page v. Page reminds us that fiduciary duty is always there. It sets a precedent that partners owe each other good faith and fair dealing, even when they use their legal right to dissolve the partnership.
It's a reminder that legally, partnerships aren't just cold, transactional things. They're built on trust and a certain level of obligation to each other.
Absolutely. And another layer to Page v. Page is the power imbalance between George and HB. George wasn't just the managing partner. His corporation was a major creditor. That gives him a lot of potential influence.
Right, we talked about how that demand note gave him leverage. So how did the court handle this power dynamic?
Well, the court upheld George's right to dissolve, but they seemed very aware of this potential for abuse. Their message was clear. Just because you can do something legally doesn't mean you should, especially if it breaks the trust and fairness that should be at the heart of a partnership.
Okay, so even though we know how the court ruled, I'm curious, what happened to George and HB after the case went back to the trial court? Did we ever find out if George actually acted in bad faith?
Unfortunately, the details of what happened after the remand are a bit of a mystery. It's likely they reached some kind of settlement or the trial court found no evidence of bad faith on George's part. But regardless of the outcome, Page v. Page serves as a powerful legal and ethical precedent.
It leaves us with more questions than answers in some ways, but that's the nature of the law, right? Always pushing us to think critically and consider different perspectives.
Exactly. Now, to really put ourselves in the shoes of the parties involved, let's switch gears for a moment. Let's say you're HB Page. The court just ruled the partnership is at will. What arguments could you have made to try and convince them otherwise? How could you have strengthened your case for an implied term?
That's a tough one. The court seemed pretty set on their interpretation of the law, but I guess that's why we have lawyers, right? To think creatively and find ways to advocate for their clients, even when the odds seem stacked against them.
Absolutely. And remember, we're dealing with an oral agreement here, which leaves a lot of room for interpretation. I think a skilled lawyer representing HB could have focused on a few key points to bolster his case for an implied term.
All right, I'm all ears. Let's play devil's advocate here. What kind of arguments could they have made?
Well, they could have started by really digging into the specifics of the linen supply business. This isn't like opening a hot dog stand. It requires significant upfront investments, long-term contracts with clients like hotels and hospitals, and a commitment to building a reputation for reliability. You don't just jump into that kind of business on a whim.
So the argument would be that the very nature of the linen supply business implies a certain duration to the partnership, one that goes beyond just hoping to make a quick buck. It's about establishing a long-term enterprise.
Exactly. And they could have emphasized the fact that the partnership suffered significant losses for almost a decade. It's reasonable to assume both brothers went into this with the understanding that they would weather the storm and eventually reap the rewards once the business became profitable. Dissolving a partnership right when it was turning a corner could be seen as violating that shared expectation.
It's like saying, hey, we both took on this risk together, we endured the tough times, now it's time to share in the success.
Right. And don't forget that George's corporation was a major creditor to the partnership. HB's lawyer could have played that up, arguing that George was wearing two hats, partner and creditor, and his actions might have been motivated by a desire to protect his investment rather than acting in the best interests of the partnership as a whole.
Ah, that's a clever angle. It introduces the possibility of a conflict of interest, suggesting that George might have been prioritizing his role as a creditor over his responsibilities as a partner.
Exactly. By highlighting this potential conflict, they could have painted a picture of George using his position of power to gain an unfair advantage, essentially pulling the rug out from under his brother just as the business was about to flourish.
It's fascinating to think about how different legal strategies could have potentially shifted the court's perspective. But even though the court ruled in George's favor, the emphasis on fiduciary duty is a powerful reminder that legal rights aren't absolute.
It's a crucial takeaway. Page v. Page serves as a stark warning for anyone involved in a partnership. Get everything in writing, be crystal clear about the terms of the agreement, and never underestimate the importance of good faith and fair dealing.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's a lesson that transcends the specifics of this case and speaks to the very heart of how we conduct business, how we treat our partners, and how we navigate the sometimes murky waters of the legal system.
Well said. And with that, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into Page v. Page. Hopefully this has given you a deeper understanding of partnership law, the potential pitfalls of oral agreements, and the crucial role of fiduciary duty in balancing legal rights with ethical obligations.
It's been a fascinating exploration of a case that continues to resonate even decades later. Thanks to everyone for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, it's about putting the partnership's interests first, and your partner's interests too, even when you're splitting up. It's about not just taking advantage.
So you're saying it's not just what's legal, it's about what's right too, like ethically?
Exactly. The court was basically saying to George, hey, you can't just use this right to dissolve thing to totally screw over HB.
Right, right.
They actually sent the case back down to the trial court to figure out if George did anything shady, like if he actually breached his fiduciary duty.
Okay, so the fight wasn't over. But how do you even prove bad faith when you're breaking up a business like this? What would be crossing the line?
Well, think about it this way. What if George, knowing the business is about to boom, dissolves the partnership and immediately sets up a competing linen supply place right across the street, like using all that knowledge and those connections he got from the partnership to just undercut HB and steal their clients.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds pretty bad.
Right, that would probably be seen as acting in bad faith, for sure.
It'd be like he was using the partnership as a stepping stone, leaving his brother in the dust after all those years together.
Exactly. Or let's say George knows there's a huge new contract coming up, but he keeps that info from HB before ending things. That could also be a breach of fiduciary duty.
Because HB can't make good decisions if he doesn't have all the facts.
Right, exactly. So it's all about transparency and fairness. You can have the legal right to dissolve, but you can't use that as a cover to mislead your partner or put them at a disadvantage.
I see. So fiduciary duty means you've got to hold yourself to a higher standard, even when the law might give you some wiggle room.
Precisely.
This Pagey Page case, I'm realizing it's way more than just one partnership squabble. It really makes you think about how legal rights and ethical responsibilities play out in the business world.
It's a landmark case for exactly that reason. It's a huge cautionary tale for anyone going into a partnership. This case is practically shouting from the rooftops, get it in writing.
Oh, for sure.
You know, relying on just handshake deals, especially with money involved, it's just asking for trouble.
Like playing with fire, you might not get burned, but is it worth the risk?
And even with a written agreement, this case reminds us that fiduciary duty is always hanging over you. It sets this precedent that partners owe each other good faith and fair dealing, even when they decide to dissolve, even when they're totally within their legal rights to do so.
It's almost like the law is saying partnerships aren't just cold, hard contracts. There's an element of trust there, an obligation to each other that goes beyond just what's written on paper.
Absolutely. And you know, another interesting thing about Pagey Page is that power imbalance between the brothers. Remember, George wasn't just any partner. He was the managing partner. Plus, his corporation was a major creditor. That gave him a lot of potential power over the whole situation.
Right, right. We talked about that demand note, how it gave him serious leverage.
Yeah, and even though the court ultimately said George could dissolve the partnership, they seemed very aware of how that power could be abused. They were sending a message, just because the law lets you do something doesn't mean you should, especially if it hurts the trust and fairness that should be at the core of any partnership.
Interesting. So even though we know what the court decided, I'm kind of curious, what happened to George and HB after this? After the case went back to the trial court, did we ever find out if George was actually acting in bad faith?
Honestly, what happened after the remand is a bit of a mystery. They probably settled things out of court, or maybe the trial court found George was acting in good faith after all. We don't really know for sure. But regardless, Page v. Page is still a super important case, both legally and ethically.
Yeah, it really makes you think. It's like, we got some answers from the court, but we're left with even more questions about how it all played out in the end. I guess that's what makes law so interesting, right? It always pushes us to think critically and look at things from different angles.
Exactly. And speaking of different angles, let's put ourselves in HB's shoes for a second. Let's say you're HB and the court just said, nope, this partnership is at will. You're out of luck. What arguments could you have made to try and convince them otherwise? How would you have built a stronger case for an implied term, even though nothing was written down?
Yeah, that's a real head scratcher. The court seemed pretty stuck on their interpretation. But I guess that's what lawyers are for, right? Thinking outside the box, finding ways to fight for their clients, even when it seems like an uphill battle.
Absolutely. And we're talking about an oral agreement here, which is basically a lawyer's playground, right? Lots of room for interpretation. I think a good lawyer for HB could have really hammered a few points home to make that implied term argument stronger.
Okay, lay it on me. Let's put on a lawyer hats here. What kind of arguments could they have used?
Well, they could have gotten real specific about the linen supply business. This isn't like opening a lemonade stand. We're talking big investments up front, long-term contracts with clients, you know, hotels, hospitals. Building a solid reputation.
So you're saying the nature of the business itself implies the partnership was meant to last a while, that it wasn't just about making a quick profit.
Right. It was about building something that would last. And they could have emphasized those years of losses, almost a decade in the red. It's not crazy to think both brothers went into this knowing they'd have to weather the storm before things got good.
They were in it for the long haul.
Exactly. Dissolving right when profits start rolling in, well, that could be seen as breaking that unspoken agreement.
Like saying, hey, we shared the risk, we stuck it out through the tough times, now it's time to share the success too.
Exactly. And don't forget, George's corporation was a major creditor. HB's lawyer could have really played that angle up. George was wearing two hats, partner and creditor. Maybe his actions were about protecting his own investment, not what was best for the partnership overall.
Oh, interesting. So maybe there's a conflict of interest there, like George was putting his creditor role ahead of being a partner.
Exactly. Highlighting that conflict could paint a picture of George using his power to get an unfair advantage, basically pulling the rug out from under HB just as the business was about to take off.
It's amazing to think how different legal strategies could have changed the court's mind. But even though George won, That focus on fiduciary duty is a big reminder that legal rights aren't everything.
Absolutely. Page v. page, it's a huge warning sign for anyone in the partnership. Get it all in writing, be super clear about the terms, and never underestimate the importance of good faith and fair dealing. Those things matter, even when the law's on your side.
It's a lesson that goes way beyond this one case. It gets to the heart of how we do business, how we treat the people we work with, and how we navigate the legal system, which can be pretty tricky sometimes.
Well said. And with that, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into Page v. Page. Hopefully, this has given you a deeper understanding of partnership law, the potential pitfalls of oral agreements, and the crucial role of fiduciary duty in balancing legal rights with ethical obligations.
It's been a fascinating look at a case that's still relevant today, decades later. Thanks to everyone for joining us on this deep dive.